Well, good morning. Yes, thank you. Good morning. I just am so excited today to share with you our opportunity to show back to God some of the some ways that we can show Him honor and love, and how much that we are so thankful for Him. And I want you to know that we draw inspiration from very many different sources, and I promise you I will preach from the Bible here in a little bit, but I want to show you this source of inspiration. For those of you who may not know what this is an Archie comic book. If you're under 25 and you're thinking of Riverdale, this is not Riverdale. If you're over 25, you have no reference to what I'm talking about. Archie, in the original version, was created by a man who was very passionate about the Word of God and shared it in a very creative way. And I'm not sure why, but this is one of the comics. This is from 1978. This is one of the first comics that I ever owned, and I still have. And part of why it is this is, believe it or not, how I learned about tithing. I know. In this book, Archie gets a job, and so does Jughead. And at the end of the time of their pay period, they get their check, and Archie teaches Jughead the principle of tithing. And I remember, I loved, there's a scene, I wish I could show it to everyone, but basically he tells him that you give God 10%, and Jughead is going nuts. He's like, 10%? And then they go on to explain what the tithe was about. And I guess the other image that I wish you could see here is that Archie explains it kind of like breakfast. The chicken contributed. The pig was committed. Think about it for a second. And I don't know why that stuck with me as a seven-year-old, and here I am 40 years later, and the image still is in my mind of how God made the commitment to us, and what He's asking is for us to make a contribution. And so today, we want to kind of conclude this three-part series as we launch our 90 days of giving, a commitment to give. And so we talked, first of all, that we set the precedent of all the stuff that we have is just dirt. That it really doesn't matter in the end. It's all just stuff. And last week we talked about how that God gives us provisions that we treat as possessions, and that it's really not about us. He gave us provisions so that we may share with others. And so today I want us to look at how that we can, by giving, honor God. So today's title is, It's All About Honoring God. Proverbs 3:9 says this, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Now, there's some of you out there like me that I don't farm. So you're like, I don't have to do that, right? Well, I love how the New Living Translation says this, honor the Lord with your wealth and with your best part of everything you own and produce. So God is all about us honoring Him. One of the ways that we do that is by giving. And what we give back to Him is basically a return of what He has already given to us. We talked about that last week, that God gives us provisions so that we may provide for others. God's economy is a little different than the world's. In God's economy, we receive so we may give. And we give so we may receive. You can see right there that there's a counterintuitiveness to it, that people have a struggle with tithing and giving because it's against our nature. The world tells us we receive so that we may maintain, that we may possess, we may own. And we give only when necessary. And usually in the world's economy, giving usually has some kind of a string attached that means a kickback to yourself so that you provide for yourself. For example, your mortgage. Why do you pay your mortgage? Because you like living there, right? Otherwise, why would we pay it? We would just move into a house and not pay it. But we pay the mortgage because then the mortgage company says you may continue to live there. So it's kind of a win-win for us. Otherwise, we would not give unless it had benefit to us. But in God's economy, we would give regardless if we had benefit or not. But I'm here to tell you that we give because it has one of the greatest benefits, and that is honoring God. There is nothing we as human beings can do that would be more of an accomplishment, that is more amazing, has more eternal value than bringing honor to God. I want to go through and share a couple of verses because I want us to see that this principle of honoring God is both an Old Testament and a New Testament principle. So I want to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 4. And most of us are familiar with this story, but I want us to look at it from the perspective of giving. Genesis chapter 4, verse 2 through 5 is the story of Cain and Abel. Here's how the word says it. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits and offered to the Lord. Abel brought an offering, the fat portions, some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. And if you know that story, you know what the next thing that happened was. Cain killed Abel because he was mad at God. The very thing I want us to look at is some key words in this passage. Abel kept the flocks. He was a shepherd. He took care of animals in some form. And when he made a sacrifice, what he did was it said he brought the fat portions. Now, I know in today's skinny culture, fat's a bad word. But historically, that meant it was the juicy, good part. I want to tell you right now, you give me a pork chop with some fat on it, don't be the cutting the fat off before you grill it. That's the good stuff, right? He brought the firstborn from his flocks. In other words, he says to himself and to God, God, I honor you. You are the creator of all things. You made all that we see and we enjoy, and I'm going to bring to you the very best that I have and give it to you in honor of who you are. And God received it. Now, Abel was the one who brought his best. And Cain, he brought, and the word here is some. Some of his crops. Now, it doesn't tell us that it was his worst. But we are told very clearly it was not his best, and it was not the first. Now, I confessed to you a couple months ago, we're talking about tithing, and there's been times in my own life where it's like you pay all the bills, and at the end of it, you think, I got like a nickel left. God, I can't give you anything. I'm reading into this a little bit, but I feel like that's what Cain was doing. Now, we don't know for sure what it was he brought, but if you've ever, now I've never farmed, but I've done a little gardening, and you grow some plants. Tomatoes, I don't know whether they're easy to grow, so we grow them. I don't like tomatoes that much, but we have tomatoes, and you get those one tomatoes, and they're like awesome looking, and you get the ones that are not so great looking. And God, he's like, I want the really awesome ones. Not because I need them, but because it shows me you really care about me. And what Cain did was he said, you know what? I'm taking these leftovers. I'm not taking my good stuff. I'm just going to take whatever. So what about a tenth of a tithe? Is that something that is just because God's law said that in the Levitical law? Well, actually, it takes place before that. In Genesis chapter 14, we have the story of Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and he meets with Abraham. It's Genesis 14, 18 through 20. Abraham came and brought to Melchizedek and gave him a tenth of everything. A tithe. Because Melchizedek was king of Salem and a priest of God. He followed God. The biblical principle here we see is here is Abraham. He is the forefront, the forerunner, the forefather of the nation of Israel. He is, by default, the forerunner of Christ because it is from Abraham that Christ physically came into this world. And he himself gives a tithe, a tenth. He's not, if you read the story, he's not obligated. Melchizedek didn't require it. It was just simply a form of worship and honor and recognizing who this man was. Now, if Abraham would do that with Melchizedek, a human being, shouldn't we have the same attitude with God our Father? Whether it's obligated or we are told to do this by law or we're not following the law, just by our own nature, we should say to God, God, we recognize you in your position and we want to honor you. Then eventually the law does come. It's passed on through Moses. He's given to the nation of Israel. And we read in Deuteronomy 14, verses 22 and 23, God very clearly sets these rules. He says, be sure to set a tenth of all your fields produce each year. And what I love about God is he doesn't just give rules. He gives us reasons. And he says, I want you to do that. I want you to give this tenth to the side for this reason. Verse 23, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. So you may learn to honor your God always, recognizing who God the Father is. By giving of our tithes and offerings, we recognize to him who he is, and we recognize who we are and the relationship with him. Well, that's the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Well, the New Testament gets even more specific. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 13. I don't know if you guys wear steel-toed shoes or not. If you do, I hope you have them on. This may step on some of y'all's toes. That's an old church saying. What that says is, I'm going to share with you the word of God, and it may prick your spirit. Here's what it says. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest or untrustworthy with much. Let me just pause right there. Now, if you just stopped right there and you thought, well, Jesus could be talking about a lot of stuff, right? Maybe he's talking about my talents. And he is. Maybe he's talking about the word of God and the message of Jesus Christ. And he is. But he's also talking about something very specific. He's talking about our finances. Next part of this verse. Jesus says, so if you have not been trustworthy in handling, what's this? Worldly wealth. Who will trust you with true riches? If you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? And you remember last week I talked about God is the owner of all things. We're just the manager, right? All the dirt that we accumulate throughout our life, whether it is physical or financial, it is all because of Him and all belongs to Him. We are just temporary managers. Jesus very clearly is saying, if you want to be a spiritual person, if you want to grow closer to the Lord, if you want to honor God, you do it in this very simple way. If you can handle something as really insignificant as money, then He will share with you the things that are more important. If you will handle things that are really not of great value, then He will give you things that are of immeasurable value. Verse 13, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. Most of us know this verse. You cannot serve both God and money. If you look this up in a lot of different translations, you can see that what he's saying here is if you look at what your possessions do to you, they own you. You serve them. Your allegiance is to them. You make your decisions based on protecting them. And he very clearly is telling us, if we hold on to those things, we cannot be holding on to God at the same time. No one can be trusted with things that are truly valuable if God can't trust us with the things that are invaluable, that have no value. These things that we possess on this earth really do not own any particular value. They only are valuable in as much as they can be used to glorify God and bring glory to His kingdom. Do you have a big house? Awesome. God doesn't say you can't, but how can you use that house for Him? Do you have a small house? Awesome. How can you use that house for Him? Do you have a large bank account? Awesome. How can you use that to glorify Him? Do you have a small bank account? Awesome. How can you use that to glorify Him? It's not about how much or the size of the stuff. It's what you do with it. We here at New Hope are committed, not to connecting with people. I know you're going to think I was going to say that. I know. We are committed as leaders and elders and business team members to have financial accountability, to be wise stewards. We recognize the tithes and offerings that we receive, that you give. The men and women who sit on these leadership teams pray over this and diligently protect those resources to make the most impact for God's kingdom. One of the questions that was that I've had feedback over the last few weeks, and one of these questions came up, and I think it was a great question, is who makes the decisions as to what happens with tithes and offerings? And I want to say just up front, it's not me. Someone asked me also, who knows what people give? Not me. And I work with John Phillips is the head of the business team, and we work to keep that separation because John's job is to balance the checkbook, and my job is to lead you spiritually, and it's between you and God what you're doing. But I want to recognize those, because we failed to do some of this. I want to recognize if John Phillips and those who are on, John's like looking at me, going, no. If John Phillips, who's the head of the business team, and the rest of the business team would please stand, I want to recognize who these men and women are that help have financial responsibility for our church. Thank you, guys. And I will tell you right here, these guys will pinch a nickel to make a dime. All right? They are protective of your resources. They follow the leadership and guidance of our elders. And Jacob Bartley, who's back in our sound booth, who is our serving every Sunday. If everybody turn around, look, he's waving at us. Oh, by the way, we're live streaming today on Facebook, so you just waved to everybody on Facebook. That's awesome. If I could have the elders to please stand, those who are serving as elders here. Thank you, guys. These men and women are the ones who make the decisions. If you were here on the first Wednesday in January and we talked about the strategic planning for what we're wanting to do for this year, and we talked about, you know, there's a need. God blessed us, and we've seen an increase in attendance, and we're running out of parking spaces, and some Sundays we're running out of chairs and spaces to park people in here. And we've evaluated, you know, what is it going to what does it cost, and what does it look like to add onto our building? And all of these things are exciting, but what it means to us, and this is the thing that we keep putting out on the forefront, is whether it's 100 people or 1,000 people, is that we want people to become truly committed to connecting with God. And I said it before, and I'll say it again, I would rather have one person or 100 people who are totally sold out to Jesus than 1,000 who are not. We as an elder team and business team, we are not in the business of building buildings. We're in the business of building up disciples of Jesus Christ. And that is why we do the things we do. And we, as a church, want to set the example for all of you who are members here. And so we, as a church, set aside 10% of all the tithes and offerings that come in for missions and opportunities that reach others for Jesus Christ. Now, we have some wonderful program. One of the other questions was like, what do we do? What is this? I don't want to just talk about giving money. I want to talk about what we're doing with the resources God's given us. And of course, many of you know of our wonderful children's ministry called Hope Kids in the back. And you know that through your generous giving that we've been able to bring Hannah Birch on board to be the part-time children's director. And she's doing an amazing job back there of pouring into the kids. And I want to just kind of summarize what the kids back there are learning. They're learning that God made them, God loves them, and that God wants to be their forever friend. And then as they grow up and they enter into the elementary age, we teach them that they need to start making wise choices and to trust God no matter what, and to treat others as God planned them to do. Boy, just think if we had a whole world right now of young people who are growing up in middle school and grade school that were coming out with just those facts that God loves them, God made them, and God wants to be their friend. And because of that, they should make wise decisions and treat other people how God wanted them to be treated. So we are investing resources to pour into the hearts and minds of the young boys and girls in the back so that they can be a generation that grows up and can impact our community and our world. And then, of course, we have our Fusion Youth Group that meets on Sunday nights. And we have middle schoolers and high schoolers together, and they actually get along. And we're pouring into them, and here's what we're trying to teach to them, that God is real. That seems like such a basic thing, but in today's culture and society that they're being told day in and day out in their own schools that he's not, but we're here to tell you that God is real and that his word is relevant to their lives. And we just try to demonstrate to them that there are adults who love them and want to help them navigate the transition into being a grown-up. Man. I had the privilege of having that when I was a child, and I want that for my children and the next generation to have youth groups who say, you know what, I know the world's telling you one thing, but here's the truth. I know that in today's society of digital social media that you feel less connected than you ever have, but here are grown adults who are taking their time to invest in you and love you and cares for you. And I know that this treachery that is teenage years is crazy, but we're here as adults to tell you there is light at the end of the tunnel, and here's how you navigate some of these situations in life. And we only get to do that, and we get to pour into them, and we get to play games, and we feed them, because you know nothing speaks to teenagers, or really any of us, like food. And we get to go do activities and have fun, because we want them to know that being a Christian isn't boring. And we do all that because of your generosity. Now, as I mentioned, we set aside 10% of our tithes and offerings to go into missions, to reach out into our community and our country and around the world. And I want to highlight just a few of those things. You may not know this, but because of your generosity, we're able to help support a young man by the name of Vincent Ferry, who's at the University of Toledo with CRU, which used to be Campus Crusade for Christ. And he gets to interact with college-age students and see them either come to faith in Jesus Christ or grow in faith in Jesus Christ. And boy, it's just, it's awesome. And if you ever want to know, if you go down the hallway where the restrooms are, there's a bulletin board, and he usually sends a newsletter, and his newsletter's up, and I encourage you to stop by and take a look at it, because he always has these amazing stories. And I'm always excited about his summertime, because his summertime is they go out and do crazy stuff, like, you know, go to New York City and just walk around and share Jesus, and thousands of people come to Christ, and it's an amazing, amazing impact. And I'm excited to tell you that he just got married last week, so his ministry is expanding. I don't know if he needs more support now, but because of your generosity, we are making an impact. You are helping make an impact in places like Toledo. There's a couple that we've been supporting as a church for about 10 years now by the name of the Wallaces, and they live in Myanmar. Some of you who are here at the very beginning know them, and we've actually had them come to share with the church a time or two. And they are doing amazing things in the country of Myanmar, where they're in there establishing businesses, setting up microloans, and working with individuals to develop individual businesses. And as that process goes along, they're discipling them with Christ as well. And through that, they are starting home church groups and actually planting churches. They're using the God-gifted talent of business and their passion for Christ, and they're putting it together in a country that needs both. And I do want to put a special plug in for them, because they will be here in June. And on Friday night, June 15th, they have asked to put on a seminar here, where what they're wanting to do is reach out to our community and see if we could do something like that here in the Newburgh, Chandler, Boonville area, of helping people find financial success, not just for the sake of getting stuff, so that they can then bless God's kingdom, and they may be discipled and grow, and it creates opportunity. But some people may never come to our church or feel comfortable coming in here, but if you invite them to learn how to start a business or how to grow the business, they'll be all about that. And then along the way, we go, oh, by the way, we're about real success, not just financial success. Here's Jesus Christ, and we get to share the gospel. So I would just want to welcome all of you who are business owners and are in banking and finance to be here June 15th, because it's going to be awesome. Charlie and I had the chance to meet with a person who's a community leader, and we shared this, and they were, I use the term, geeked about it. I think that's what he said. And he's like, I am geeked about that. I'm like, awesome. Is that good? And so I share that with you is because your support that we are supporting people like this. Andy and Amanda Justinson, many of you may not know them, but they are in Togo, Africa. And it's, again, I'm always amazed at God's provision. Andy's background is that he has a degree in radio broadcasting, and his wife is a nurse. and they prayed for years of how that they may use that. And so God, through a series of connections, put them together with a ministry, and they're in Togo, Africa. And guess what they're doing? He is in charge of a Christian radio station in Togo, Africa, that reaches millions of people with the message of Jesus Christ. And she is serving in a medical ministry that's down the road and sharing the love of Jesus, both through her physical act of healing and by sharing Jesus in her prayers and words to them. And we are part of that. Uncharted International, many of you know them and their work in Myanmar. If you're not familiar with them, they're an amazing organization that has six different orphanages, about 500 different orphans. They have a Bible college that produces some amazing Bible scholars, and they do a church planting system. They have a loom house that teaches women who have been neglected by the society how to have a job and support themselves, and that organization then brings those products over here and sells them in America, and the funds all go back over there to help develop them. We're part of that. I just want you guys to get excited. It's like what we're doing. We're here, and then we look around the room, and we're like, oh, maybe there's not that many people, and we're this little church here on Van Road in Newburgh, Indiana, but man, we're connecting to Ohio, and we're connecting with Myanmar, we're connecting with Africa. Even here locally, the Evansville Christian Life Center and Hope Central, both of them have a very similar mission, one in Evansville, one in Boonville, of trying to deal with the issue of poverty and the consequences of it by meeting food needs, by meeting clothing needs, by helping young parents who maybe either had bad examples of parents or who never had parents really themselves that now find themselves pregnant or with a child and they're like, what do I do? And there's parenting rewards programs. These are impactful, real things that we are participating in and making a difference in our community because you guys give. There's other missions that we support. The Evansville Rescue Mission provides housing. Studio B provides guidance for young children. Brothers Keepers helps men who are coming out of prison to find a pathway to success so that they don't recidivate, they don't go back. And of course, you already heard about Charlie's favorite ministry, the Cookie Ministry. and we... If you didn't notice in the bulletin there, I want you to realize it's not a typo. It says that we're making 1,200 dozen cookies. Not 1,200 cookies, 1,200 dozen cookies. I don't do math, so I'm not going to try to guess what that amount is. It's a lot. Now, there's maybe a few less because Charlie's been helping, but it doesn't seem like it, but I'm going to tell you, having been a former jail chaplain, that when somebody from the outside brings in outside food, it opens doors that may not otherwise be open. To share the message of Jesus Christ. Now, all of that is because you have been faithful to give. And here's what we're asking you. In your bulletin, there is a commitment card. And if you didn't get a bulletin or you don't have a commitment card, we would be glad to get you one. Here's what it says in the commitment card. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly under compulsion, but for God loves a cheerful giver. We want you to feel compelled, not by our words, not by anything that I've shared the last few weeks, but by God himself to give. What we're asking for, it's very specific. Starting May 1st, we want you to make this statement. I believe that my attitude towards God's provision in my life and my act of giving is a biblical practice that honors God, and I am committed to the 90-day giving challenge from May 1st to July 29th. Now, I mentioned it last week. There's basically three categories of people that I can see filling this out. Number one, those of you who may have never given for whatever reason, but today could be the day you commit. I'm going to give something. And your amount is in your heart. If you just commit, say, every week I'm going to give a dollar, $5, whatever it is. I want you to make that commitment. Why? Because it begins you on the journey of spiritual growth into maturity in Christ. And as we've laid out over the last few weeks, the stuff that we own isn't our own. It belongs to God. We're just stewards of it, and it teaches us to honor Him. For those of you who are already giving, maybe you aren't giving a true tithe, a true 10%. And is there something magical? No, there's nothing magical about 10%, but there is something biblical about it. God doesn't just, of all the things that He could have wrote down, He could have written down 10%, 20%, whatever amount, but He said 10%. So I'm going to honor God by honoring His word. And for those of us who may be making that commitment, I'm going to honor God by giving a true 10% of my tithe. And then the last group is this. Maybe you've been faithfully tithing for years. I want to challenge you. What's God laid on your heart to do beyond that? Remember, God blesses so that we may bless others. We receive so that we may give. Now, we've set 90 days because it takes about 3 months to create a habit. They say 30 days, but when you're only coming to church once a week and giving once a week or once a month, however it is that you do, we want to set a pattern for this. So the next 90 days, over this next 90 days, we're committed to giving God what He asked for, which is an amount that's first, an amount that's the best, that honors Him. And we want to honor you. And so what we're going to do is, if you are going to make a commitment, then we want to commit to you to help you understand. And so we have these books right here called the Money Challenge. It's not a very long book, but it's a really good basic understanding of what the tithe and what budgeting and what honoring God with how to be good stewards of His resources is all about. And we have copies of these back in the connection area, and Pam will be back there if you stop by. If you turn in one of these commitment cards, you make a commitment today, we want to honor you. Now, if we run out of these, don't worry. We have more on order that we just couldn't, they didn't come in time for today, and we will definitely get those to you next week or the week after. And we want you to have these because we want you to understand. Guys, I know that I've spoke a lot the last few weeks, but I promise you, I just touched the surface of what God has to say about you and your use of His resources. And this book will go deeper into that. And I encourage you to take a look at this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward right now. And Charlie and the band are going to come up, and they're going to just play instrumentally for a minute. And we want you to make this commitment. In just a moment, the ushers will come down, and then we'll ask you to pass those cards to the end of the row, and the ushers will collect those. Now, you'll notice on this card that I didn't ask for an amount. That's between you and God. Here's what I'm asking. I want you to make a commitment. And I specifically put a comment on here. If you are committing for the first time, or you're making the move to tither for the first time, I want to know that, because I want to celebrate with you and taking those steps to spiritual maturity. So I'm going to pray. We're going to offer you a time of reflection, and then in just a moment, we'll collect these cards. Heavenly Father, thank You so much. Your word has so much to say about what we do with the blessings that You give us. And God, I just ask that You would help us to understand just a little bit of that, so that we may honor You. Heavenly Father, we can't continue to receive Your blessings if we're just trying to hold on to what You've already given us. So help us to have open hands and open hearts to be able to freely give and share. For those who may need courage, God, to take this step, I pray for courage. For those who may require some discipline to rearrange They're spending so that's a more God-honoring financial budget. God, I pray for that, for wisdom. Whether it's little or much, God, we recognize that it comes from you. And we give back, not for our own sake, but for yours. We pray for all of this in your name. May it bring glory to you.